Today on Real Radio.
Do politicians make insane decisions for your kids and for your family? We're living it out right now in California. Listen, you better wake up. What they do decide in the halls of power affects you. And if you live in a country that allows you the opportunity to change it or to say something, say it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from chapters 6 and 7. The section contains the famous admonition by Paul not to be, as he puts it, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, gives us the culture and history behind the expression and what it really all means. It's a lesson called Come Over Here. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? We've all heard this verse. Predominantly in a dating relationship, something like that, somebody will say, especially parents. All parents know this verse if they have older kids, because their older kid may be interested in an unbelieving girl or an unbelieving boy, man, whatever. And you say, well, is he a Christian? No, he's not a Christian, but you watch, Dad. I'm going to win him to Christ. Which is interesting, because most often she hasn't won anyone to Christ yet, but she's going to win him. Gee, sweetie, what's the motivation? He's cute. And every parent knows about this verse. And it's certainly true to use it in that manner, but that's not exactly what Paul was speaking to us about and speaking to the church at Corinth about. Mark it down, Christian, please. In verse 14, it teaches us that there are certain associations that Christians, listen, must endure in this world. About yoking. Yoking, write it down. Yoke. What is that? It means to be harnessed up to become one with. Yoke. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, I believe it is, Jesus says, take what? My what? Yoke upon you, which is very awesome. We had known, listen, I know that. We know this, that Jesus is speaking in a teaching manner when he said that. Take my yoke upon me, for my burden, it's light, the weight is easy. But have you forgotten? What was Jesus' earthly way of making money? He was a carpenter. Guess who made yokes in those days? Carpenters. Jesus was a carpenter. When Jesus says, take my yoke, church, this is awesome. Here's the reason why. When you have two oxen, even though you have two oxen, there will be a difference enough when it comes to, now those of you who are in high-performance sports or high-performance automotive or high-performance anything or engineering, exactness is important. The slightest change could determine disaster. Jesus said, take my yoke. Take the yoke of God the Son who made you. I know how you should be yoked. And here's how it works. You got two oxen. You got two oxen, and you get ready to put them to work. They're going to start plowing your fields. You know what? One of the last things you do before you start at harvest or sowing season, you go down to the carpenter shop. In this case, Jesus' carpenter shop, Joseph's carpenter shop. And no doubt this happened to them every season. And they would come up and they'd say, Joseph, I need you to size up my oxen. He would take measurements. And guess what? He would make two yoke connected to a crossbeam. That yoke was tailor-made for that ox. Perfect. Jesus says, take my yoke for you. In life, I'm only talking to the Christian. If you're not a Christian, good luck. You're on your own. I'm only talking to the Christian. Christian, listen. Jesus says, you come to me, I'll give you the yoke for your life. that no matter how hard it gets, you're going to be able to do it. Remember, and maybe he would have engraved, I'm making this part up right now, but maybe he could have engraved on it, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Because the yoke is only as strong, or that team is only as strong, I should say, as the yoke. You may have a 3,000-pound ox, but he can't do nothing unless you've got the right yoke. And so you have these ox, and when they're connected together, when the yoke is made by the master, though they're a little bit different, they're different, but they're a little bit different when it comes to the technology of it all, they can do a great job. Why? Because the yoke, they're not fighting the yoke. They're using, the oxen are using the yoke to pull the task. You got that? When you are unequally yoked, you would have either a unsanctioned yoke, it doesn't fit right, or you have two animals of different nature. I read a guy preparing for this message. I read a guy who was traveling through the Middle East. I don't know where he was. This never would have happened in Israel. He was not in Israel. And the guy had a yoke. He had yoked a donkey. You can yoke a donkey if you have another donkey. He yoked a donkey to a camel. And the guy was going by in a car and he saw the camel and the donkey pulling a plow. And the camel was going like this. Watch everybody. The camel was just walking like he's on vacation. And the donkey was running to try to keep up. And on top of it, he said at times the donkey would stumble. And so the knucklehead farmer would start beating the donkey. And this pastor said it was a horribly cruel and vicious sight to see. The donkey was getting beaten. The donkey was not made to pull the plow with a camel. And Paul is saying, don't be unequally yoked. You can't bring two of different natures together and expect it to work. You say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean by that? Exactly what you think I mean by that. It doesn't matter how cute he is or how cute she is. And it doesn't matter how passionate you are about missionary dating. Oh, I'll date him and lead him to Christ. Or I'll date her and lead her to Christ. Listen, the whole thing, God says avoid it. Just avoid it from the start because you're hooking up to a situation that it's going to be unequal. And guess who pulls all the weight? The believer. When the believer hooks up, yokes up, marries an unbeliever, it's going to be tough. Look, are you married to a Christian? Are you a Christian? Married to a Christian? It's tough enough. When you, as a non-Christian, are married to the Christian, the Christian is in a whole different emotional, spiritual mindset of everything. And in almost always the situation, there's exceptions by the grace of God, but in almost always the situation that we hear about in ministry is that the non-believer pulls the believer down. And emotionally, the believer's trying like that donkey to run, but he or she's strapped to a camel. And their life is spent. And it's tough. And God says, listen, I want you to come together in agreement spiritually. You have to have the spiritual foundation. Nothing else will fit. Nothing else will fit. You wind up having separate vacations, separate money, separate interests, separate passions, separate hobbies, separate goals. Marriage is a supernatural, God-ordained, spiritual setting. And he's ordained it that. He made it up. He calls the rules and he made it that way. And he says, don't be unequally yoked, but it transcends even marriage. He says, unbelievers, with unbelievers, don't yoke up. So listen, what is this certain association that we as Christians must yoke to the world? Yes, there's some yoking we have to do with the world. Well, how so? Well, listen, are you going to go to work tomorrow? Do you have an unbelieving boss? Or do you have unbelieving employees? You're supposed to be working at the company address for the same common cause. In a sense, you're yoked to the mission. You're yoked to the task. You're yoked to the vision of the company. And that includes believers and non-believers. That's normal living. That happens. Cultural things. Now, please, save the male. Cultural things. What do you mean by that? Cultural things. I think it is awesome that a Christian family has their Christian kids, except on Sundays, playing sports in the world. The culture of the world. In other words, I know there's Christian leagues of this and that, right? I guess it's okay, I guess. I don't know. I guess it's okay. I don't really have too much of an opinion on that, but I do have an opinion on the Christian and be involved in the non-Christian sports world. I think it's awesome. Why? Because I want to prepare my kids to take on the world head on that doesn't believe in Jesus. And it starts as early as you can. And you tell them, now, Johnny, listen, you're going to go out there today, and I want you to swing that bat and hit that ball as hard as you can. And you run and you give God all the glory and you go for it, okay? You do it. You give God your best. And you're going to hear words out there today from mostly the parents who are taking it a little too seriously. But listen, buddy, it's the world. And those are not God words. Those are devil words. I mean, those are Satan words. And we don't use those kind of words. Now, you're going to write me and say, Pastor, I can't believe you said that because I just have protected my little kid or my teenager from every bad word in the universe. And I appreciate that. But at some point in time, before you turn them loose at UCLA or Stanford, let me tell you, you better have taught them those are bowling words and not Christian words. And they have a shock of their life. They're getting eaten alive. Galvanize your family, your kids for an unbelieving world. Teach them from the youngest of age. God made everything. So let's sit down. We're going to put in this DVD, and we're going to listen to what they say on PBS about evolution. We were big on that at home. My kids grew up from the very beginnings. I taught them evolution theory, and I taught them the Bible theory. Evolutionary theory and the Bible fact. How's that? And I told them from the beginning, whenever you hear somebody say this, it's because they're looking at science without God. So they've got to explain it somehow. So they create their own version of religion, their own God, and its evolution. You prepare them. When they hear it, they go, yeah, I know that. I know what you're doing. They know. Are you with me? It's very, very important. Wisdom in the world. Walking wise in this world is all important. There are political things that you cannot escape. Some people try to do this. We're Christians. We don't get involved in that. Guess what? You're already involved in it. Do politicians make insane decisions for your kids and for your family? We're living it out right now in California. Listen, you better wake up. What they do decide in the halls of power affects you. And if you live in a country that allows you the opportunity to change it or to say something, say it. So it does affect you. Galvanize, prepare your family, prepare them to interact with an unbelieving world. What we don't want to do is get a monastic view. I'm a Christian. I don't get involved in that. Now look, let me tell you now what a Christian needs to do, what we must avoid. What does it mean to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Or do not be unequally yoked. Associations. God doesn't want you as a Christian involved in associations with non-believers or partnership with non-believers. You need to think about what that means in your life. The Bible is very clear. God doesn't want you involved in worship. You say, what does that have to do with this? Just hang on a second. Devotion with unbelievers, faith with unbelievers. Personal relationships with unbelievers certainly includes marriage. Let me say this, because I'm going to be asked this. Pastor, I'm about ready to start a business venture. I'm going to be investing in a company that I've started with a friend of mine, and he's not a believer. Personally, I wouldn't do it. In fact, I'm just feeling really, real extra honest today. I will not go into a business venture with a Christian without a contract. You mean you guys shake, right? Oh, we'll shake after we sign the contract. You wanna know why? Are you listening to me? Yes. Have you ever been burned by, look at my fingers, a Christian company? Yes. Try being a church. Listen, in my opinion, if I'm gonna go into a business venture with someone or an investment with someone or a project with someone and they're Christians, then I'll say to them, hey, because you're a Christian, you have no problem signing the contract, right? Well, why, man? Because, dude, listen, you're not God, and you're not King David. And King David backslid. And any Christian could backslide. You can offer up $1 million, the guy puts in his $1 million, and at the end of the deal, because he backslid and got his eyes off of Jesus, he may wind up with $2 million, and you ain't got no bucks. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? If someone's a Christian, they'll be happy to sign a contract. But if you go into business with a Christian, or just go into business on your own with God, I understand that. What else? When I mention worship, this is a big deal. When I mention the word worship, devotion, and faith, you say, how does that relate to me? Let me take you back 21 centuries ago. People were converting to Christ. People were becoming Christians. You know this. You've read about it in the Bible. There were centurions who worked directly for Caesar that you've read about in the Bible. Caesar's household. Greet the believers who are in Caesar's household. Hello? Did you hear that? It's in Scripture. It's amazing that there were Christians, centurions converted to Christ, become a Christian, and they worked as it'd be like this today. There are Secret Service and Marine Corps diplomatic detachments in the White House, and they're Christians. And they're there like this, right? They're there, and they got all their Roman garb on, and now they have just come to believe that Jesus is Lord. And yet, over here, behind them, Caesar's Lord. Guess what? You say, okay, well, so, here's what. When Caesar would appear in public, the Roman centurions, they were under oath. They would do a movement with staff, with either fist or staff, and they would either say, Caesar's Lord! Or the movement meant Caesar's Lord. But you are a centurion, and last weekend you went to Calvary Chapel of Rome, and you became a Christian. And now you got to go back to work. And all of a sudden, Caesar gets out of bed and walks out into the hallway, and you go, Caesar is, I have a new Lord. If God is watching out over you, you will at least be fired. You understand what I'm saying? Caesar could order you to death. You say, well, I'll just whisper it. Caesar is not. Caesar is not. But wait, what are you actually saying with your presence and with your movement to others around you? You're saying Caesar's Lord. Do you see now all of a sudden this comes down real close to home? If you were a craftsman in those days, if you were a smith, or if you were a mason, listen, you are supposed to make stone carvings and idols for all the various temple worships systems. Listen, you went to church last week and now you're a Christian. And now you go back to work on Monday and you're carving a statue of Diana and Zeus. What do you think? Put yourself in their sandals for a second. What do you think of that? And Paul says to them, listen, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't be connected. You see now how personal this is? What do you do? What are you going to go do tomorrow? It's a tough call, huh? I say tough call. We've either all done it or we're doing this. We're taking a stand for Jesus. I want to encourage you. You stand for Jesus. I just saw someone a second ago looking to my right. I won't mention her name, won't draw her out, but she works for Fox News here in LA. That's all I'll say. She's done it right. She's done it right because you know what she's done? From the beginning. She's told them, I'm a Christian. I'm going to give you 110%, but I'm a Christian. Rupert Murdoch is not Lord. He owns Fox. Fox is not king. Jesus is my king. He said, well, how do you know? Because I've seen her at work at Fox. And there are news personnel at Fox now that happen to know all about you because she gets these messages and takes them to and hands them out to people at Fox. And then I tell her, make sure you tell so-and-so I'm praying for them. And she does. That's how you do it. You say, well, what if they fire her for doing that? Oh, let me tell you something. God will take care of her. Amen. Well, what if God fires me at my job? You know, when I've got to make these idols, I've got to carve these idols. I make Obama bobbleheads. I made it up. Whatever. It could be. Could be anything. Could be George Bush bobbleheads. I don't care. What do you do? So devoted, years ago, a man who used to attend this church when it was a little tiny thing, God blessed him. And God blessed him. Became a multimillionaire. Moved far from here. Still stays in contact with this ministry. But you know what he did? Way, 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 way back then, he said, Lord, this stock right here, this stock I'm going to dedicate. And it was, you know what penny stock is? He said, I'm going to dedicate this to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Whatever you want to do with it, it's all yours, God. And so he throws it out there. God blessed it, and God continues to bless him. And one of the things he does in all of his investments, he looks to see if a company is involved in promoting gambling, alcohol, or pornography. And if they do, he doesn't invest in them. God will honor because he's refusing, and you're refusing, to be unequally yoked with this world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Come Over Here. It's a study taken from chapters 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians, where Paul admonishes believers not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Again, Come Over Here is the title, and it's actually a mini-series taken from Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you happen to get a smartphone or maybe a tablet for Christmas? If you did, you've likely downloaded some apps already. Well, here's one more that you need to download. It's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. By the way, it's free. Once you download it, you'll get all the great features like Watch, which takes you to Real Life TV and Pastor Jack's teachings, Listen, which takes you to the daily Real Radio broadcasts, Read, which takes you to Pastor Jack's Real Life devotions as well as our online Bible, Grow, which takes you to tools and resources to know God better, Connect, where you can watch Pastor Jack on YouTube and follow him on Facebook, and a whole lot more. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app is a free download. Just go to your app store to find the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. To find out more, pay us a visit at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Want to reach us by phone? Here's the number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.